Welcome back, TV 3101. Casey Kendrick now joined, as promised, by the athletic director for Oklahoma State University, Mike Holder. And, Coach, it is a pleasure to have you with us here. I know you're extremely busy. Things are going on, but I do appreciate you taking the time.
Well, my pleasure, Casey. And I was feeling pretty comfortable about this until I look over and see this this list of questions you got there.
I sent you a text earlier, and I said, Coach, the questions are going to be pointed, and I don't want you to be blindsided twice in 11 days. And you said, hey, open and honest dialogue, bring it on. But that's what I've got, my friend. So
you should have given me a preview of coming attractions before I got here.
That wouldn't have been nearly as much fun, I could promise you. You know what? This is not the show. This is just you. All of that is you. We'll see what we get done here. So I'll start with a busy week, huh?
No, not really. Well, no, just another day or week in the life of an AD, no matter whether you're at Oklahoma State or Timbuktu State.
You know, Coach, there's so many different directions we could take, and I want to try to delve into a little bit of everything. So let's just jump right into it. Let's kind of talk about the things that that did transpire. Obviously, you had a head coach that you were in somewhat of negotiations with that takes another job, and you use the word blindsided. And obviously, I would say anybody that was, I think everybody would have said they were blindsided. Certainly, if you're blindsided, how can anybody outside the program not be blindsided? But in hindsight, is there anything you think you could have done differently to change that outcome?
I don't know if I could have or not. I regret that I didn't have a better read on the relationship that I had with Brad. I thought he fully understood and comprehended how closely aligned we were, and that my interests coincided almost 100% with his.
Mm-hmm.
And we were partners in this deal. Other than his immediate family and his, you know, maybe couple of close relatives, no one was more invested in his success and future than me. And I thought we finally got this basketball situation in a better spot than it had been in quite a while, and that we would enjoy some success together. And he'd retire in Stillwater, and there never crossed my mind that he would ever leave. You know, in the 11 years that I've been here as AD, we've never lost a coach. We've had some coaches get terminated, and we've had some assistants move up. But we've never lost a sitting head coach. And I think that has a lot to do with the university. It's a wonderful university. It's vastly underappreciated by the rest of the country. It's about the people, and we got wonderful people. I think anyone that has a family – Stillwater's a great community to raise a family in. So many wonderful people around the community, and I think it's heaven on earth. That's why I never left. I've loved every minute of every day that I've lived in Stillwater and worked for Oklahoma State University, and I think a lot of the people working at the university, and especially in athletics, share that same vision, same attitude. And so with Brad, I thought we were exactly 100% in agreement on that, and that we were in this for the long haul, and it was inevitable that we would come to an agreement, a mutual agreement, on his compensation and any other issues that may crop up in a basketball program. And I told him early on, Brad, this is not adversarial at all. We'll come to an agreement. It's just a matter of me seeing your point of view, and I've listened to it. You need to understand some of the challenges over on my side of the house. And given those two different, I think, priorities perhaps, there's inevitable that you meet somewhere in the middle. I had a very wise man, very, very wise man, told me one time, this gentleman spent a lot of time in Washington. Some of you may have heard of him out there. You probably know who I'm talking about, but it's Calvin Anthony. He told me he learned early on in Washington, D.C., that the power's in the middle. So it's always about compromise, coming to something that benefits both parties, but does it disadvantage either one too much? So,
Coach, you know, because you and I talked, you know, again, getting ready for this interview, I told you some of the things that I was not happy with Coach Underwood to begin with. So the outcome, you know, as a result of whether it was because of money or not, I was happy that the money didn't make sense for him because he's no longer here. And I just was not a fan, and I've made that very, very clear. But from that perspective, when you look at not giving him, again, I don't want to get into the issues completely, as I know some of those things you're not going to talk about. But let me ask you this. Your experience, obviously experiences make us different and better at what we do. The Travis Ford contract was obviously, I would think you would agree, was not your best moment, right? That wasn't your that's not the one you're hanging your hat on.
Well, I've tried to forget about that, but it's hard.
we don't tend to let you do that. Did that affect? I mean, Travis Ford in his first year with Sean Sutton's Players goes to the tournament, wins a game, and obviously he becomes a hot commodity, and you had to make a decision quickly. Now then, you've got another guy that comes in, takes somebody else's players, and gets to the tournament, doesn't win one, but becomes a commodity even more so than he was the year prior. Did your knowledge and your experience with Travis Ford create any of the distance between in the gap between what he was looking for and what you were looking for?
Well, even if you did your best to try to encapsulate everything into the current moment, this small period of time, I think it's impossible to not bring some of that with you. So probably, you know,
wisely though, right?
Well, I would think so. You don't get emotional about it, and you try to learn from things that you've done in the past, so you're probably right, Casey.
What about in hindsight, again, because of the knowledge that you've had and the way this thing came about, you know, and you've talked about this, and I've heard you say this a couple times now. This is the first coach that you've lost since you've been here that have left on their own accord, and you've never lost another coach due to money. Did you read the market incorrectly?
No, I'm well aware of the market.
Bad coaching. You're probably well aware of several markets, including the stock market. If he could garner that kind of money elsewhere, did it make you regretful that maybe you didn't come to the table more quickly?
You know, let me say this about money. Oklahoma State University has always been competitive when it comes to taking care of the coaches and athletes, whoever it may be. But there is some reality of where we are with the size of our football stadium and the revenues that we produce and the annual budget we have and some of the people that we have to compete against. But I'll say this, if it ever comes about the money, becomes solely about the money, this probably isn't a good place for anyone. I don't care from the president of the university down to the janitorial staff. I'd like to think that it's always about more than the money at Oklahoma State University. Not that it's not important, but it has to be. Other things have to trump the money for it to actually work at Oklahoma State. And I think it has for decades, and I'm hoping that it'll operate that way for decades in the future. I think a lot of things are a whole lot more important than what you make and what your paycheck looks like.